Welcome to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. Glad you could join us tonight. Tonight, my co-host is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. And tonight, we're going to talk about a holiday that our Jewish brothers and sisters just recently celebrated. It started on Saturday, and it ended last night, Sunday. And Heather is going to give us a little background, and she's going to talk to us as to what happens during this holiday festival called Purim. And we're talking about it because there was an article that came out over the weekend, a rather, to me, a threatening article saying that, rioters, as Purim nears, there were rioters that were threatening Jews in Teaneck, New Jersey. Now, we have never heard of anything like this before. Especially we didn't hear about this when Donald Trump was in office. But now that Joe Biden has taken the reins, we have seen our country turn a 365-degree turn on our Jewish brothers and sisters, who, and Israel, who happens to be one of our greatest and oldest allies. Now, the last time Heather was on, we spoke about Chuck Schumer and the statement that he made calling for new elections in Israel and Joe Biden supporting it. So we're continuing that dialogue, because if you forget history, and that history as to what happened during the Holocaust, you're doomed to repeat it. And that is the reason why we keep this story in the forefront, because we don't want people to forget history the way the media has gotten people to forget 9/11, gotten people to forget that Joe Biden is a frailed and failed and failing president, that Joe Biden has some cognitive issues. They want us to forget all about that. They want us to forget about that under President Trump, we had a great economy and the country was thriving. Under Joe Biden, the country has fallen to its knees. We're not respected in the global community. And our enemies, they don't fear us. So that's the reason why we keep these stories at the forefront. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So you just attended, I think, a Purim dinner. Could you tell our listeners, give us the genesis behind it, what it is, and why it's celebrated in the Jewish community?
Sure, Rob, that's an honor. Well, I'm not a scholar, but I am Jewish. And yes, Purim is one of the major festivals. It's a pretty major holiday. It celebrates the survival of the Jewish people in ancient Persia, which would be today's Iran. There was a king, I believe his name was Ahasuerus, and he was the king of Persia, and he had a wife, a queen, his favorite queen, his only queen. He probably had concubines, but, back in those days. Anyway, she was Queen Esther. And by the way, you may be familiar with this story, Rob, because it's also an Old Testament story. It's in the Hebrew Bible, so Christians, some know this story too. Basically, at that time, there was a surge of anti-Semitism and hatred of Jews. Jews were merchants, and as Jews always have had to survive, to survive by our wits, and they served the kingdom in this way. But there was a man named Haman, an evil man who was an advisor to the king, who scapegoated the Jews, as we see happening in today's world for, people's frustrations and difficulties. People like, a lot of times the lower part of human nature seeks that scapegoat, right? So he said to Ahasuerus, these people are evil, they need to be eradicated. If you get rid of them all, then your community or, your kingdom will be perfect. So he tried to get the king to kill all the Jews. And the king's queen, Esther, was Jewish. And interestingly, the king didn't know this. It was an intermarriage. And I guess she just wasn't out and proud at that time. She was a great beauty and she was the queen. And she had either a brother or an uncle, I can't remember, whose name was Mordecai. who told her, you have to tell the king, you have to save your people, you have to tell him that you're a Jew. And she was petrified because she knew it might be the death of her. But the story is about Esther finding the courage to tell the king, who loved her, who she really was. And when she did, you know, the king, it's actually kind of a, well, I don't want to use a vulgar phrase on our conservative. It's a power of the you-know-what story in a way, Rob, because the king was so in love with her and respected her so much. He said, my queen, I would never hurt you or your people. And you know what? It's Haman who's going to be put to death. So the man who had suggested this awful thing, the killing of all the Jews, which would have included the king's beloved queen, he was put to death at the end of the story. And so that's why on Purim, it's considered a happy holiday. It's a little bit like the Jewish Halloween in a way, because kids dress up, although they usually just dress up as the king or as Queen Esther, not as Haman. But whenever Haman's name is spoken, the evil Haman, who was like a Hitler, you know, the kids all make noise. You know, you have noisemakers and you scream and try to drown out the mention of his name. And it's also like a holiday to eat sweets, and we eat little triangular shaped cookies, because apparently Haman had a triangular shaped hat. So that's the basic story. And as I said, you know, a lot of Christians are familiar with it because it is in the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Esther.
Right. We are familiar with Esther saying, take me to the king to save the people. Beautiful mm-hmm. story. Now, fast mm-hmm. forward to today, what's happening? We saw our brothers and sisters, Jewish brothers and sisters, celebrating the Purim. As I mentioned, it yeah. started on Saturday and it ended on last night, Sunday. But at the same time, we saw that there were articles being written that they were, you know, a possibility of people saying that they were going to protest and, you know, that Jews should be careful during this time. And we've never, Heather, have you ever in your life seen or heard of the anti-Semitism that we see here in the United States?
No, I can't say I have, Rob, and I am dismayed. I think that it's ugly, and people really, I mean, I think if people really care about innocent life, if that's what this is really about, they should be organizing efforts to evacuate children from Gaza, and they should be asking Hamas, demanding Hamas release our innocent people and stop this already. You know, picking on Jews is not going to help Gazans, and everybody knows that. So it is anti-Semitism, it is ugly. And it's like, you know, now I guess this is the excuse for venting this hatred is, you know, because of the war. And it's very dismaying. But I will say, I mean, I don't think it's most Americans. And, you know, that said, it is very upsetting, yes.
Very upsetting. And I forgot to mention one other thing when we're talking about Purim, is that this is also, we're coming off of Palm Sunday, mm-hmm. which Christians believe in. It started mm-hmm. Actually last night at 12:53, yesterday evening at 12:53 p.m., believers around the world gathered to celebrate Palm Sunday on March 24th, which it recognizes, it says, Palm Sunday marks the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem and ushers in the Holy Week. Of course, this is a week they say that when Jesus was betrayed, he was put to death, and then that Sunday, he rose again. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention that while we're talking mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Purim. But going back to...
Yeah, it's interesting how holidays coincide sometimes. Right. Yes, yes.
And they do coincide times.
Lots of
so,
yes.
Just going back to what we're saying, you know, the unusual time that we're in, we have this group of people that have become so anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, and that is the reason why, as I said in my opening, we keep these stories at the forefront, because we don't mm-hmm. want to be a part of those who forget history.
Yeah.
Forgetting history is extremely damaging. And I was thinking today before we came on the show as to how there's this concerted effort to turn people against the Israelis and the Jewish people. And I see this with our young people, and I see this with the media. I see this with our woke politicians. And the last time you were on, we spoke about this, and we compared what the Jewish people are going through with blacks. And one of the things I said is that they both need to change who they're voting for. And then the thought came to mind, Heather, that we see what's happening to our Jewish brothers and sisters. And my fear is that if black people don't soon wake up and realize that they're being used by a progressive Democrat party, before you know it, the tides are going to turn and they will have a target on their back. And it's already being placed on their back with this whole DEI and put black first. And even though they don't qualify, we're just going to put them in these positions. Before long, people are going to wake up. And they're going to realize that we did this thinking that, we were trying to create equity, but it's created more damage than good. They're going to wake up and realize that the majority of the crimes that are being committed is being committed by a small segment of the population, and it's the black population. They're going to wake up and they're going to realize it, and then they're going to turn on blacks. They're going to say, nope, look at what you've done. We're turning on you. We're going to bear down on you with the full forces of the law. It could happen, and I caution my black brothers and sisters, you need to wake up. You need to wake up because, again, this is a mob mentality that we see that's happening right now. And right now, while you think you're safe, while you think you're at the forefront, while you think that, oh, they like us and we're doing this and we're getting over on them because we're committing crimes and no one's go we're not going to jail. We can do smash and grab and we can holler racism and they'll although stop what they're doing. If you're not careful, that tide is going to turn around and you will be at the other end and it is not going to look good at all. I caution blacks. You need to wake up. Because this is a double-edged sword, and that sword could strike either way. We need to wake up and be aware as to what's happening, and it's not good. This is a mob mentality, and these people don't care about anyone, Heather. They're only concerned about themselves. That's it. And that is a reason why we saw that article. They're saying that, you better be careful if you're in Teaneck, New Jersey, because they're coming after you. And we won't be able to protect you. And you see, look at our law enforcement now when things go wrong. They're slow about acting, they're slow about going out. And it's not necessarily our police officers, but it's their command chain who won't let them go out, who's refusing to do it. And you remember back during when David Dinkins was in office, the Crown Heights and that whole escapade and how he told the police officers to stand down. I mean, again, forgetting from when you forget history, you're doomed to repeat it. And
And
that is the reason why
repeatedly
we have
did
to,
big
yes.
time in 2020,
And that's the reason why we have to keep this at the forefront, Heather.
I was just talking to someone tonight, Rob, who's a good man, sort of one of the few remaining moderate Democrats around, and I was trying to keep an open mind, and have the conversation. He was talking about Trump, and I asked him, as someone who I know you don't like Trump, but what do you think when you see all this massive effort at every kind of prosecution, dredging up decades-old claims, trying to prosecute cases where there's no victim? I mean, isn't it clear, like him or not, that there are many forces in our government that will stop at nothing to try to stop him? That this is very political. And, my friend, he said, well, that he does perceive that. He does think there are many forces trying to stop Trump, and he can see that that's not really proper in terms of the way the government is meant to function, but that he feels that January 6th and Trump's role in it was very disturbing, very irresponsible, destabilizing, concerning. And I said, well, okay, you know, I mean, I guess I can see that, but it's not even a matter of blame. It's just a matter of understanding all that led up to that. You know, the months and months and months of violent protests that we were told not to believe our lying eyes. They weren't really violent. As you said, the police were standing down by and large. We saw separate standards and separate legal requirements for different groups of people, the law unequally enforced for months and months. We, you know, supporters of Trump were told for so many years that they were racists, you know, despite really very little evidence of any, I'm not saying nobody anywhere did anything wrong, but it wasn't like there was, God forbid, massive, you know, or consistent abuse by Trump supporters of anybody that I'm aware of. I mean, it wasn't really based. I mean, what were they doing? They were just wearing red hats and supporting Trump, you know, but there was this whole exaggeration of the idea that the Trump supporters are racist or homophobic or coming to get you, you know? And so years and years of this and years of actually the other side, the left, tending more toward violence, but the police doing nothing about it and all of us being told we can't even perceive that it's reality. My point to my friend was just, you know, I'm not exonerating January 6th, you know, rioter people, protesters who got violent, or, you know, maybe saying that Trump handled it perfectly, but I think it took a lot to get there. And I think that, you know, the problem, the real problem is the extreme, the way the left has hijacked the Democratic Party and, you know, is taking this country in a crazy direction and will not, you know, will brook no compromise. And so, you know, yes, you do have some, I guess, Trump supporters rather belatedly kind of, you know, I mean, at a certain point, you know, look, I mean, we know there's action and reaction. It doesn't excuse immorality. I'm not saying January 6th and the violence was right. I would never excuse that any more than I would excuse the violence at the protests, you know, over George Floyd. But I mean, I think in both cases, you do have some provocation going on. And it's like, if we just pretend, you know, that nothing bad happened to George Floyd and there is no such thing as police brutality and that, you know, January 6th happened in a total vacuum and it had nothing to do with, you know, frustrations boiling over, you know, I think we're kidding ourselves. I think that we all need to be more understanding of the fact that it's not a good idea to push people, you know, on either side to the limits of frustration and injustice and, you know, labeling them and dissing them and subjecting them to inequality for years, you know, and then, you know, just expecting that everything's going to sail along and there's going to be no reaction. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but I wanted to share that conversation.
No, that was well said. We're up against a commercial break, and I'm glad you said that because that's going to lead me into my next comments that I want to make when we come back from the commercial break, is that we are leaving the Jewish holiday of Purim. We're now in the Christian holiday of Palm Sunday, leading to one of the most holiest, the holiest week in the Christian religion, and look at what's happening now. Who's in the middle of all this? Donald Trump. Look at how they're trying to persecute him. So we'll be back and we'll discuss that and other topics after the commercial break. Thank you.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
So Heather, I never made the connection until you started talking. And, you know, we started out talking about Purim, and then I mentioned Palm Sunday and realizing that this is like a holy week for Christians in the religion, because it leads up to the persecution of Jesus Christ. And by no means am I trying to say that Trump is a deity like Jesus or like God. But right, as we were saying, you know, Heather, when we were in commercial break, we were, you know, talking about this, but it is ironic that this is happening this week. And if, I mean, we might be one of the only news outlets that's making the connection. And if any of the left-wing outlets hear this, they will probably, I mean, just attack us viciously. But when you think about it, Heather, I mean, this is like, we just ended Purim, now we're going to Palm Sunday, and you look at what happened then with Esther thinking that she's going to be killed, and then we have here Jesus being, you know, gathering his apostles together, the disciples, and talking to them and telling them, you know, one of you will betray me. And they're wondering, who is it? And then he was persecuted. And I'm like, wow. And not only that, Heather, when you look at what's happening to Trump and you tie that to other figures in history, can make the connection with the civil rights movement and him being prosecuted, really persecuted in Fulton County. And who else was in that jail? Martin Luther King. He was arrested. Now, the left will not mention it. They don't want to say it. It's as if though they don't want to, they're hoping blacks don't make the connection that Martin Luther King was also held in that jail wrongfully. He was arrested wrongfully. They will not say it. They don't want to say it. And I tell my black brothers and sisters, you need to wake up and understand history. They won't tell you that. Now, had it been anyone else, they would say, oh, and remember this and remember that. Now, if Trump were to come out and speak ill of that, they would say, oh, he said this, and you know who else was there? But they will not make the connection that Martin Luther King was also arrested and placed in the Fulton County Jail, which is a horrible jail that we're learning. It has not changed almost 50 years since he was there. It has not changed. But when you look at the parallels of what Trump is going through, and that is a reason why he had said, black men can identify with this. And the media went nuts. Oh, don't say that. How dare you? But it's true, because black men have been accused. They have gone after black men for stupid things. You look at the entire New York, the drug laws. They had thrown black people in jail for having small amounts of marijuana. You remember Alice Johnson, who was in jail, and she got out because she, with the intent to sell, she was trying to support her family, and she got caught. And she was in jail for like 20 plus years. She had reached out to Barack Obama. Barack Obama refused to answer her calls. But then Donald Trump came in and he let her go. And no one wants to talk about that. Oh, he's a racist. The media does not want to make the connections. And there are a lot of black people, Heather, that don't know it. And look at all the other good that he did for black men, reducing their prison sentences. And they were at the White House. And the media refused to cover it. A lot of blacks to this day, Heather, are completely unaware of it. The same way a lot of people are unaware that it was Trump who moved our embassy to Jerusalem, not Biden, not Bush, not Clinton. If you were to ask, they would say, oh, well, Obama did it. No, it didn't. All of the other presidents talked about it, but Trump actually did it. These are things that people are completely unaware of, and that is a reason why, Heather, we have to keep this at the forefront. We have to talk about it. We have to make certain that people know the facts. We have to keep talking about it because they don't know about it. And the media does not want you to know about it. They want to hide it. But that was a great way you just said, make that connection. It is so true, Heather. It is so true what they're doing to him, trying to take away everything that he rightfully earned and rightfully created.
Yeah, it is ugly. I mean, I'll tell you the truth, Rob, I haven't followed all the details because it's almost like too aggravating, but I know they're trying to take away Trump Tower. They're trying to, there's the case about what, that they're claiming he exaggerated his wealth in order to get a loan or something, that he overvalued some property in Palm Beach. Meanwhile, he did some great developments. The bank got every penny back. There was no victim, even if that's true. But they need to prosecute this now, years and years later. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, you have to ask yourself if this were anybody else but Donald Trump, honestly, you know, a victimless alleged crime from 30 years ago. I mean, who, you know, who would pursue this? Who would use the public's resources to do so? And they, we know there's the Russia collusion hoax, whatever that was. That's always such an easy prejudice to tap against the Russians. They tried to throw that at him. It was all nonsense. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, look, E. Jean Carroll, you know, far be it from me to, I don't mean to dismiss anybody's alleged trauma, you know, you never know, but I mean, whatever did or didn't happen was alleged to have happened 30 years ago. I mean, you have to ask yourself if this was anybody but Donald Trump, and there's no physical evidence, you know what I mean? I mean, unless it's like a Nazi war criminal, I mean, who's going to be have this dredged up without evidence 30 years later? It's so obviously political, the whole thing. They're just trying to come up with everything but the kitchen sink to stop him. And it is a kind of persecution.
It is a persecution. And why? And I see so many people on social media saying, oh, he's guilty, he's this. And when you ask him, but what was the crime? Oh, well, you know what he did. What was the crime? Specifically, what right. was the crime? Right. And, you know, and they can't tell you. They'll say, well, then they'll start reciting, becoming a parrot of the media. I don't know if you saw last week or not, but AOC, when they had the Senate Judiciary Committee had one of Hunter Biden's business partner, Tony Bobulinski, who is a smart man. He used to work, I think, for the CIA, had him on, and he was testifying. And AOC decided to question him. And she said, can you specifically tell me what crime that he committed? And she said, did you see it? He said, yes. And she said, what? And he said, RICO. And she came back and said, that is not a crime. I thought, oh my gosh, this woman is representing constituents, and she doesn't even know what she's doing. And you know what's sad is because the media has given her like these big props to make her seem as if though she's a like this smart woman, and she's an empty vessel. She knows nothing. She talks a good talk. She has a social media following. And because of that, they have deemed that she's important. This is the extent of our educational system in America. This woman knows absolutely nothing. She is an empty suit, but yet and still, she's serving in Congress. And she's, you know, trying to represent people. And I'm like, are you serious? And she's not the only one. There are so many others that are there. Our country has fallen. This does not look good. I mean, we don't want career politicians there, but we want the best. We want people who know what they're doing and what they're saying. And Heather, she is not one of them. She's not. No. And then she came out the other day. She goes, oh, I hope Letitia James takes all of Trump's properties because, you know, he committed a crime. And I say to people, this is just not about Trump. This is about our way of life. This is about the rule and order. This is about our criminal justice system. And if they're able to set precedent by going after him, and you got to remember all this stuff, he was a private citizen. If they're able to go after him, just imagine what they're going to do if they don't like you. And see, people they're not thinking that far.
I think that's true. Although, you know, I will quote no less or like than my brilliant mother who made, one observation about that earlier. She said, yes, that is concerning. The only thing about that is they probably aren't going to go after anybody else the way they are him. I mean, it's he they want to stop because he's so unique and he threatens their monopoly and their corrupt, shiesty ways. And the reality is, yes, if someone else like him came along who was a reformer and a disruptor in a good way, they'd probably do the same thing to them. That's true. But I think it's all about power, you know, theoretically they could do that to average citizens too. Sure. You know, I saw Kat Timpf on tonight. She's on Fox and she was making the point that they keep saying he's not above the law, but it's so ridiculous because nobody else is prosecuted for all this alleged, probably imaginary stuff from 30 years ago. It's not a matter of being above the law. He's subject to laws that nobody else, literally nobody else in the country is subject to. It's like, you know, he's like below the law. He's like the person who can be, you know, harassed, prosecuted, you know, for, you know, on flimsy claims from decades ago, and no amount of expense or resources is too great to just endlessly focus on him. So that's, you know, that's hardly being, you know, above the law. I mean, that's being like a victim of endless lawfare. And, you know, they're just doing anything they can to stop it. Anything they can short of, you know, God forbid, you know, violence.
And what's dangerous, violence, right? And they will stoop to violence, but, you know, again, like maybe no one like Trump, but once they put it on the books that they're going after you. And I would recommend everyone read the book by Bill O'Reilly, Killing the Witches, because it what we're seeing right now took place almost 100 something years ago, when you had different individuals, people in a community who didn't like someone, and then they brought up false charges and accused them of being a witch simply to take away their property. And we see, look at what's happening to Trump. Trump has done nothing wrong. The bank said that they didn't lose anything. You have this judge who's trying to make it seem as if though he's into real estate and placing values on properties that he has no idea what he's doing. But Heather, not only that, but why aren't our legal system, why aren't other judges and lawyers filing amicable briefs to say, this doesn't make any sense. This is wrong. Now, I heard that Ed Meese, who served in Reagan's White House, recently filed a briefing regarding the entire, I think it was the, which one? It was, I think it was on, it's either the classified documents or the case in Georgia. filed a briefing saying that, you know, this is a reason why this is dangerous and it makes no sense. But why aren't more legal experts coming out? They know what this judge is doing is wrong.
Maybe, Rob, they're afraid, because remember, anybody and everybody who really strongly stood with Trump has pretty much also been persecuted. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of Rudy Giuliani's practically been ruined, one of the greatest leaders our country's ever had. Who were those other guys? You know, there was that one that was dragged off in the morning. He was
right. I remember him.
Roger Stone.
You look at Roger Stone. You look at Peter Navarro. You look at Paul Manafort. People are afraid. What you said, what you just said, is so true. They are afraid to say anything because they will come after them. As I said during the first block of the show, it is a mob mentality, and they are afraid that they will come after me. Already in New York City, it has been established that if anyone agrees to work on Trump's legal team, they will go after you and have you disbarred. Now, how is it that the American Bar Association is going to fall for that and will get behind? No, we will go after you. We will take away your license if you work on anything related to him. What about everyone is entitled to a representation? And that is the reason why what's happening, Heather, is so dangerous. Because if they're able to set precedent, if someone doesn't like you, they will do something similar. And it doesn't have to be on that grand scale. It might just be, okay, we're fighting over property. We're fighting over a building. I want it. I don't want you to have it. No, I'm going to fake and create this entire situation to take it from you. That's the reason why this is so dangerous. That is the reason why we have to realize and wake up to see what is happening here in America. Now we're up against another commercial break, and I want to continue this conversation and talk about some other events that are taking place in and around the country. But again, as I said during the first block, we're doing this because we don't want people to forget these stories. We don't want people to forget Lincoln Riley. I keep saying Lincoln. I can't believe it. That's what Biden called her, Lincoln Riley. We don't want people to forget it. And also, I want to talk about this bill that was just passed in AOC, and not AOC, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying that, oh, we need to get rid of the Speaker of the House again. I'm tired of her. I'm like, look, it is what it is. Let's move on. If you want a better bill, then you need to get behind better candidates and get them in the House. This is After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the American Outlaw platform. We'll be back after this commercial break.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. CofixRx has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the CofixRx banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Heather, it's hard to believe that this is the third half of the show. I mean, time is really flying by. We have so much to talk about. Now, one of the things that I want to cover before we continue our discussion is you had had a conversation some time ago with your mom, and she had mentioned that if Trump can get this before the Supreme Court, maybe they would be able to, you know, look at this and, you know, bring some clarity. And it's unfortunate that it would have to go that far, because you would think that Trump would be able to appeal this in an appeals court, but he would appeal it in an appeals court that's in the New York area. And all these judges seem to be liberal activist judges that don't like Trump. And that's dangerous, because now you're going to have a situation whereby people will start saying, if they can't appeal something, they'll say, well, I'm not going to get a fair appeal because the judges are liberal and they're not going to look at this. And if our judges are looking at these cases through a political prism, then shame on them, because they are corrupting our legal system. What do you say, Heather?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I the Supreme Court in a couple instances has been decent recently. I mean, they did, if I'm remembering, they blocked Colorado from banning Trump from the ballot in the name of democracy, which is the very least you would expect. But these days, you know, almost nothing would surprise me. And I think a couple of the liberal justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson being one, you know, sided with the conservatives on that, that you can't ban people from ballots in the name of democracy, you know. And so, I mean, I do think, you know, that there's some hope that the court is, you know, I generally think the court tends to be very political, but, you know, the judges are supposed to care, you know, to say the very least, be, you know, weighing this with as much fairness as, and, you know, excruciating kind of attention to the law and to principle as they can. And, you know, I maybe some of this stuff that's so obviously partisan and weaponizing of government, maybe it won't stand up if it gets to the Supreme Court.
But I would think, Heather, that even before it got to the to any of the higher courts, that someone, again, going back to the legal community, and we have a lot of what I thought seasoned and smart attorneys who would file amicable briefs and say, this is wrong, and this is the reason why, and this is destroying our rule of law. But they're all afraid. And wouldn't you be afraid? I think Andrew and I, we spoke about this. When you look at how Merrick Garland allowed protesters outside of the homes of our Supreme Court justices and did nothing about it. And there is a statute that says that, you know, you're free to protest, but if you go and protest outside of a Supreme Court justice home in hopes of changing an opinion, you've broken the law. But no one was arrested. And Merrick Garland said that there's nothing wrong here. And the media played it down to make it seem as if though there's nothing here. And Heather, that's the reason why. And I know you don't agree with me, but I've been saying this for quite some time. Two things here. I've said that the media in its current form should be disbanded, because it is not a free press. They're actively operating as a propaganda arm of a political party, and that political party happens to be the Democrats. Both Washington Post, CNN, MPMS, NBC, ABC News, CBS, they're all operating as a political arm of the party. You look at George Stephanopoulos the other day. He came out and slandered Trump and said that Trump had been convicted of rape. And that's just not true. And he knows better. No, Trump is apparently, they're going to file a lawsuit. But now I'm hearing that, you know, you and I both know that he's a public figure. And unless they can prove malice, you know, it's going to go nowhere. But in my opinion, there was malice here. He did this deliberately. And you know why? He's interfering in an election. He wants people to think that Trump was convicted of rape. Because people aren't going and doing their own research. They're listening to what the media is saying. And that is the reason why Trump was right when he said that they are a threat to democracy. They're a threat to our country in its current form. Now, we can say, well, if you don't like them, don't read them, or we need more media. I agree with that. Okay. But this particular media now, it's destroying our democracy. And they need to be taken out. The same way I personally feel that the seat of our government, especially the FBI and the CIA, needs to be removed from D.C. and taken to middle America. Move to Texas, move to Florida, move to Iowa, move to Colorado. But it needs to leave D.C. because as long as it's in D.C., we will have the swamp. And I hope to God that Trump is of the mindset, if he gets back in, to move it. And I don't know if it would take an act of Congress, but I hope they would agree and say, no, we almost lost the country with what we're going through right now. And we will lose it, I think, if Biden stays on. And even if Biden doesn't make it, if he gets elected and he doesn't make it, whoever comes behind him will continue his dangerous policies, which is a threat to democracy. So I sincerely believe, one, the media in its current form has to be shut down. Number two, the seat of our government, the FBI or the CIA, has to leave D.C. immediately. Heather, what do you say?
Well, you know, my friend, we've discussed this before. The media can't be shut down the same way they can't shut us down, because we have a very strong First Amendment. Congress shall make no law, you know, respecting freedom of religion or of the press. Very clear that there can be no legislation, you know, of media, basically. I mean, I guess there are some very narrow limitations. You know, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't, you know, promote child pornography. You can't openly incite violence, stuff like that. But I mean, it has to be very direct. It had, you know, because, you know, we know the range of opinion is vast, and we know that anyway, you know, the history of the world is replete with kings and dictators and oligarchs and whole, you know, societies of elite trying to smash down on alternate opinions, views, religions, you know, truth telling of all kinds. I mean, writers, artists, thinkers, politicians, people have been persecuted many times and places for blasphemy, right? You know, our country is the great experiment in allowing for human freedom within, you know, certain limits. You can't, you know, your freedom ends where you're taking someone else's rights away. You can't do that. But if you want to live in your way and say what you want, you can. And now I understand what you're saying. The media is so corporatized, and there's an unholy alliance between the media and one political party. And I agree. It has done a lot of damage to this country, and it continues to. But we've seen the rise of conservative media, and that's been possible because of our First Amendment. You know, we have our voices, we have our talk radio, we have Fox News and One America. So they can't smash down on our perspective, but, you know, thank God they can't. But, you know, we also can't shut them down. It just, you know, if there's specific corruption, like we can prove that, you know, a politician's getting money from, or, you know, that a politician's giving money to a media outlet to give them favorable coverage, we can prosecute that because that's, you know, illegal, I guess. But I mean, what we have here is a cultural kind of a coalescing of forces that, of course, I know what you're talking about. There's tons of people in government and in media who all tend to go to the same schools and, you know, be educated in similar ways and hobnob with each other and reinforce each other's views and, you know, use public service as a path to fame and fortune rather than make their bones out in the real world and then go into politics. You know, so we have kind of an elitist sort of like it's not a conspiracy. I wouldn't go that far, but it's like a mutually symbiotic relationship between media, entrenched establishment, is, you know, interests and people in Washington and the universities. And believe me, you know, as someone who's an Israel supporter, I see how toxic this has been for you know, decades now, that, you know, truths have been suppressed and distorted both in academia and in the media. You know, people don't know the truth about a lot of what's gone on in Israel and the Palestinian territories, which, as you know, I'm not a total fanatic. I know the Palestinians have their points of view and their humanity, but believe me when I tell you, there have been unending efforts to try to accommodate them, make peace through the years, try to compensate them. You know, that is all brushed under the rug. The way Israel was established is, you know, not understood. Most of the land was uninhabited. I mean, there's just so much distortion about the way that whole story has been presented, and it's been enabled to happen because of biased teaching in universities and poor, excuse me, media coverage. As an example, I've been into the Palestinian territories, and I can tell you, you cannot speak freely, you cannot interview people freely. If you try, you are warned that you're in danger. So any information you hear coming out of there, for the most part, in American media anyway, is shaped by the terrorists who are in charge. So believe me, I agree with you. I don't like it that the media is so biased and has so much power. I just think that what we have to do is keep telling more of our truth and marshaling our facts and logic and making, you know, new podcasts, opening new journalistic outlets, you know, supporting our conservative networks and independent networks. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. But when your voice is being maligned, it's being shut down by the corporate media and by social media.
They can't shut us down. Well, they did to you a little, but I know they did.
Well, yeah, well, right. They can.
Not right.
it's not right, but they can do it. And they can.
Well, they shouldn't be. That was an abuse of the First Amendment. I mean, unless somebody is openly advocating violence, which you were certainly not, that was clearly, you know, an overreach. That was, you know, that was not right. Of course, Twitter's a private company and blah, 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 blah. They would probably argue that they...
But protected under Section 230. They'll say 230. And yeah, if you're hiding behind that, and I've said this on numerous occasions, and when this first started, people were telling Republicans, you got to get rid of that. And they didn't. And then they realized the damage that it has caused. And lately, you have so many people now who are openly saying that the election of 2020 was stolen. Well, they cheated, that the Democrats cheated. When Mark Zucker is able to go in and drop almost $500 million in certain key states to promote mail-in ballots and to keep other candidates out of the limelight, I mean, you're monkeying around with the election. Now, can you do it? Yeah. But should it have been done? Absolutely not. And if Republicans aren't careful, they will do the exact same thing, because the Democrats see that Joe is hemorrhaging in the polls. I mean, he's way down in the polls. And although he's out and about claiming to be on the campaign trail, it's selected and few places that he's going. They don't want him to talk to certain people. And when he does, he's not the Energizer Bunny. So the Joe Biden that we saw when he gave the State of the Union address, that's not the Joe Biden that's on the campaign trail. The Joe Biden on the campaign trail is weak and feeble. And they know it. And they're afraid of it. So they're going to do all they can to try to drag him across the finish line. And for those people who are thinking that, oh, they're going to get someone else during the convention, no, they're not. And why should they? Joe will go ahead. He will accept the nomination. And it will be business as usual. And if, God forbid, he drops dead, they'll just move the next candidate up. And the next candidate will more than likely be Kamala, but I don't think the Democrat Party, they're sold on her because they're afraid of her, because they know she too, like so many other Democrat women, she's an empty suit. She's an empty vessel. I mean, she smiles. I mean, the other day she was in Puerto Rico, the capital of San Juan. Mm-hmm. Capital San Juan, Puerto Rico, the capital of Puerto Rico, San Juan. And she was there. And she was meeting, I think, with some official. And they were chanting down with the Jews, and that the Biden is a, you know, there's blood on his hands. They were chanting it in Spanish, and she didn't realize it. So she's there clapping her hands and smiling. And then one of her handlers said, Miss VP, you don't want to do that because they're chanting that down with the Jews, and that Biden has murder on his hands. And then she quickly stopped, like, oh, no, I can't do that. I don't want to be seen doing that. So, you know, this is where we are in society. And it's we need to take a step back. We need to reclaim our democracy. We need to reclaim who we are as a people. And we can't allow these radicals to continue doing what they're doing. Now, unfortunately, Heather, we are all out of time already. I can't believe it. But I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning in. And I hope you all had a great Purim. And for my Christian brothers and sisters, I hope you have a great Holy Week, Palm Sunday, which leads up to the Holy Week, and have a happy Easter. We'll be back tomorrow night. Heather will be back again. And we've got a lot to talk about, if you know what I mean. So tune in tomorrow night after dark with Robin Andrew and my special co-host, Heather Robinson, of the New York Post. God bless. And as my good friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Good night.